Acts chapter 21, please. If you open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. Now, we need more volunteers in the kitchen, actually. So I was hoping if... Okay, so Sister Sheila, thank you so much. So we have Sister Sheila and Sister Danielle who take care of the kitchen then. So thank you. And then if you need Brother Jack, Brother Jack will be there if you need his help. All right, Acts chapter 21, please. We'll read verse 1. Acts chapter 21 and verse 1. Welcome to San Jose Bible Baptist Church. It's good to see new faces. Good to see faces that we haven't seen for a while. And it's good to see the usual faces. If it weren't for all these faces, we wouldn't have even a church. Amen. All right. Now I'm going to rip off your face today. Amen? All right. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. We'll read verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with the straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went abroad and set forth. And when he had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. Now, you'll notice that in the book of Acts, chapter 21, Paul, he was going to go to the city of Jerusalem, and the disciples warned him through the Holy Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. Not only that, Paul, he went to several places. He went to Cus, then he went to Rhodes, then he went to Patara. Then he went to Phoenicia, then he went to Syria, then he went to Tyre. And then after that, finally, you'll notice at verse 5 that he kneeled down. And then after that, you'll notice at verse 6, he left again, went on a ship, and then so on and so forth. Now, notice that Paul, he was really in a hustle and a bustle. But in the midst of the hustle and bustle, he took time to fall on his knees. In the midst of life, we're all busy going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And not only that, we're working in the ministry like Paul is. Paul is doing God's work, going back and forth, trying to lead souls to salvation, plant a church over here, encourage the brethren over there. And we brethren are like the same way as well. We're just setting up the room, and then we got to sing, and then, hey, let's set up the chairs, and people got to work and prep up the kitchen. Okay, you got to wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, got to put on your Sunday best, and then drive to church, and then all this kind of hustle and bustle. We got to knock on the doors, try to lead that soul to Jesus Christ. Got to go out on the street. Yep, someone gave me the middle finger. Nothing new, you know, got to go through 10 more of those, and got to preach the gospel. Pass out the tracts. No, thank you. I'm still going to hell. All right, we get used to that. So we got to keep doing that over and over. In the midst of that, there's a time that we've got to just stop moving around and fall on our knees.
Yeah, that's good.
And Satan's tactic has always been, with this Laodicean machine, is to keep you up like a machine, going and moving like a machine, rather than taking time to just stop and fall on your knees. My title today is Fall on Your Knees. Heavenly Father, I'm falling on my knees here, so I pray that you'll please fill within me the power of your Holy Spirit, cleanse away my sins with your precious and most holy blood, use me today to preach your word. This is your preaching, Lord, not mine. Use it, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My first point is kneeling in private. Kneeling in private. Look at Luke chapter 10, please. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. Now, I was trying to find the word falling on your knees or an idea like that in the Word of God. And I was searching for it. There are several points that I noticed in the Bible what you need to fall on your knees on. When you fall on your knees, there are several things that you got to fall on your knees about. The first point is kneeling in private. You have to fall on your knees in privacy with God, face to face. You have your own private time. Look at Luke chapter 10. And then we'll read verse 38. The Bible reads over here, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also," notice what Mary did, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, would you honestly be this person like Mary here, or would you be like verse 38, Martha? Let's see at verse 40, which one are you? "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and trouble about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." There's something that will not be taken away from you, like with Mary's case. What was it? She sat. She was on her knees. She fell down to the ground at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going on is that we're like Martha. We're careful and caught up with many things in life, trying to be busy and serving Jesus and trying to please the Lord and trying to manage our family life and trying to keep up with our finances, doing well in work, doing well in school. But you got to realize that there's a time that you just got to just fall on your knees and have some private time with the Lord. If you go about your day without any private time with the Lord, that's the reason why you fall into the same old machine like all the other Americans here. And if you're not careful, Satan might tempt you, put a trial in your life, or break down your mind and body. And then what's going to happen to you is that you're going to fall into sin, get discouraged, backslide, or mentally break down. When's the last time that you stopped? Think about it. When's the last time you just actually stopped, fell on your knees before the Lord? I'm so busy, I got to do this. Yeah, Martha thought the same way. But guess what? Those things come and go. But kneeling in front of God, that thing never goes away. Never goes away, your time with the Lord. It's absolutely necessary if you want to do well in life and you want to have the relaxation that you need. The lack of this may explain why you have so much trouble going on. Why is it that my finances aren't keeping up when I'm trying to do well at work? Why am I not doing well in school when I'm trying to keep up with my schoolwork and trying to catch up with my reading? Why is it that the ministry is not growing even though I try to make everybody feel welcome? And then I try to preach a great sermon, do a spectacular teaching, and then we make sure that all our members set up the room just right and set up the food just right. And hey, it doesn't matter how much effort you pull on your part, without God's part in it, then everything can fall into pieces. You think you can do all of this without God? You can't. You need God to take care of the things for you, so you need to just stop. Why are you here at church today? Because you want to stop, take some time with the Lord. That way you can continue on throughout your whole week. That way the Lord can start helping you with your work, your school, your family, and everything. Because you need to fall on your knees. You need to take some time with God. That's why we did do this on a Sunday. Whereas a lot of other people, they're doing other things on a Sunday. What are you guys doing here? Because you want to take some time with God. That's why going to church is necessary. That's why reading your Bible is necessary. Praying is necessary. Time with the Lord. You need to fall on your knees. See, when you're going like this, you need to just go like this. Yeah. Like what you're doing right now. Stop looking at your cell phones now. Stop thinking about, my bills are going high. Oh, I got to take care of my job tomorrow. Oh, I got this exam tomorrow. And stop falling. That's what you're doing right now. You're listening to the word of Jesus. You're kneeling at his feet right now like Mary, trying to hear him. And you know you need this. Without this, what's going to happen? You're going to go back to the same old robot mode.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's what's going to happen. All right, turn to John chapter 13, please. We're going to look at John chapter 13 and verse 3. John chapter 13. And we'll read verse 3. My second point is kneeling to provide service. Kneeling to provide service. In other words, what you need to do is that you need to fall on your knees to help the brethren in need. You need to provide service to others. You need to start volunteering to do things for the church. You need to start fellowshipping with everybody. People that are not talkative, people that you haven't talked to, people that you don't want to talk to. Yeah. You've got to start doing that. Why? Because it's not about you, it's about others. You need to fall on your knees. You need to be humble. You need to kneel to others. A lot of time you stood above others, haven't you? You got to stop standing above others and you got to fall on your knees. Even though you look like the low one and they look better than you, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Think about ways where we can improve the church. What ways can improve the technology, for example? Provide better online service. What can make the fellowship even greater? Some of the members have brought up ideas for our online ministry. Some of the brethren brought up some ideas where they can do some meetings with their gender, with their age group, and etc. Recently, the Lord blessed me with more time to open up more meetings with the brethren. Opening up soul winning and then other stuff with the internet work. And you know what? This kind of stuff is necessary. Everyone has to throw in their ideas together and not just the pastor. That way we can provide service to one another, not being served ourselves. You're so used to coming to church and being fed. The preacher feeding you. Other people feeding you. Making you feel welcome. You need to get up on... You need to get up yourself and then fall on your knees in front of other people and start serving them.
That's good, preacher.
Turn to John chapter 13 and verse 3. The Bible says right here, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, did you read that correctly? Jesus, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, fell on his knees to wash the disciples' feet. Well, I don't think I can do that for that brother and that sister, so neither does Jesus. Neither does Jesus have to do that for that brother and that sister.
Right.
And you know what? The brethren let Jesus down, but Jesus nevertheless, Jesus knowing those disciples would abandon him, that Peter would deny him, Judas would betray him, Jesus knowing that full well, nevertheless went on his knees and washed their feet. Can you do that when the brother and sister, knowing that they would, if you know that the brother and sister, they're going to abandon you. They're not going to help you out in church. They're going to leave you behind. Some of them might betray you. Some of them might deny you. Can you do that for them and just kneel, fall on your knees and wash their feet nevertheless? Oh, I can't do that. Oh, so you're better than the brother and sister. Of course, Pastor. Why do you think that I should be the one that will stoop down and serve them? And I can't do that for them. Oh, so you're better than Jesus? Jesus definitely is a lot better than those people who mistreat him. But he knelt down and washed their feet. You're not better than Jesus, are you?
If you're going to stand up and say, no, I'm better than that brother and that sister, then you got to realize this. While Jesus is kneeling, you're standing. And you're saying, I'm better than you, Jesus. Oh, I don't mean that, Pastor. Then why don't you fall lower than Jesus? Why are you standing? Fall on your knees. My third point is kneeling in pride. Kneeling in pride. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11, which you don't have to turn to, it reads, the lofty looks of man, what, shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Notice right here that when pride sinks in, God says, no, you got to be humble, you got to bow down. Oh, I can't bow, then God will make you bow. He will make you bow. Some people have a pride issue, and God guaranteed it. He promised in His Word that those of you who have a pride issue, He's going to make sure you fall on your knees. He will. You better watch out of that attitude. That stubbornness, that arrogance that happens in you, God's going to make sure that you fall. He's going to make you bow. Be careful of that pride. Warming up when you're doing really well in work, when you're doing really well in school and you think you're all that, when you're doing really well in preaching and teaching the Word, God's going to make sure you bow. Whenever you have an argument with the family, whenever you have an argument within the church, when you have an argument with fellow pastors, be careful of that pride thinking, oh, I'm right.
Yeah, come on.
God's going to make sure that you bow. And when He makes you bow, it hurts. You ever were hurt like that before, where your pride was shattered, where you were wrong, where you were publicly ashamed? It really hurts, right? You know why? Because God made you bow. And it hurts. It hurts when you have stiff knees and you're standing like this and then somebody shatters those knees and you bow. Of course it hurts. How do you cure a stiff knee problem? Some of you got a stiff knee problem like this, standing above others.
Yeah, that's good.
You know how you cure that stiff knee problem? Bang! And then your knees are shattered, and you will bow like this.
That's good, preacher. That's good preaching.
God won't do that. No, He said that right here. He's going to make sure that the pride, that they're going to fall on their knees, that they're going to bow. Listen, if I were you, I'd be humble right now. I'd repent of my arrogance, my stubbornness, my pride. The thinking of, I am right. The thinking that, oh, I am better than others. The thinking that, I am really good at this. You better cure that problem. You better fix that. You better bow yourself, because trust me, you don't want to make God make you bow. You don't want God to make you bow. You'd want to make yourself bow before God makes you bow. When God makes you bow, it really hurts. My fourth point is kneeling in problems. Kneeling in problems. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 and 18, it reads, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6 is a very interesting chapter for a lot of Bible believers, because it lists about the armor of God. We have the breastplate, we have the helmet, we have the shoes, we have the sword, we have the shield. But for some weird reason, it never mentions armor for the knees. Covers every other place but the knees. And then some of us might be wondering, why doesn't God mention armor for the knees? The reason why He doesn't mention armor for the knees is because He mentioned in that same passage, we pray. When you're fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world, Satan's forces, you're armed everywhere except your knees. Why? Because you're doing this, you're praying. See? Your knees are on the ground. That's why it doesn't need armor. It's on the ground where it belongs. Okay. That's where it should be. It's got to be on the ground where it belongs. I mean, you looked at all the armor at Ephesians chapter 6 before. If you read all of Ephesians 6, you'll notice the armor is not mentioned on the knees when it's mentioned all other places. It's because they're made bare for you to kneel in prayer. God wants you to do that. You know what the first reaction is when Satan starts attacking? When Satan starts attacking, unfortunately, sadly, the first reaction is we do something ourselves.
Yeah.
The first reaction is, hey, manning up, grit your teeth. You got to go through this. Be tough. The first reaction is stop crying. Stop whining. The first reaction is, hey, you know, you got to think of a plan. What's a solution right here? We got to think of a solution. The first reaction is, I need to go cry to my brother and sister in Christ, to my pastor. If you're more secular, to my therapist, etc. That's the first reaction we do. I need to call my best friend. And you know what? That's our first reaction. You know what the first reaction is? Even worse, we complain.
Yeah, come on.
That's the first reaction. You know what's even worse? The first reaction is, we get discouraged. You know what the first reaction is, which is even worse? We get depressed. We feel miserable. We worry. And hey, you can't do anything yourself. Because trust me, no matter what thing you do yourself, everything of your own ability, no matter how perfect it is, it only takes one flick of the devil to make it all topple. You think you're stronger than Satan? No matter how much strength or effort or perfection you put into it, Satan, you're not stronger than the devil. You're not more tough than the devil. It's easy for Satan to go like that. It's very simple. That's why you need to what? You need to do this first. This is first. Not figure something out. No. What are you doing, man?
Preach, that's good.
Oh, I got to do this. No, you. What are you doing, man?
Well,
I'm tough enough. I can do it in my own ability. No, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Fall on your knees. Yeah. You know why? Because those darts are shooting high. You're an easy target like this.
Wow. That's good, preacher.
Oh, dodge here. Dodge there. Dodge there. All Satan has to do is, this is fun. You're just making it a more longer game for him. Where he's teasing you now. Where he just likes to see you dance around. You know what you need to do? You need to duck for cover. Like this. And then you got the Lord Jesus Christ going like this. If you're talking to
him. Amen. That's good, preacher. That's good, preacher.
Don't stand. You're just asking for the devil to stab you. When problems happen in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to duck and cover and talk to Jesus. My fifth point is kneeling in petition. Kneeling in petition. In James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through 42 continues that story of Elijah. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. Notice right here, Elijah, when he gave his petition to the Lord, he was praying to the Lord. It's amazing. I mean, he stopped the rain 3.5 years. Man, that's something, right? The power to control weather. Man, what power. And then Elijah asked for the rain to return, and the rain returned. Man, what power. How do you get that power? Because he was on his knees. The Bible says he put his face between his knees like this. He was really down on the ground. He was really prostrating himself. You know what you need to do? It shows right here that if Elijah put his face between his knees, he was really praying hard. He was giving the petition really hard. He was really falling on his knees even lower. He was doing it really hard. What's the point here? The point is this, is that to be a sign of a prayer warrior is being fervent in falling on your knees. Something you want in life. It's something that you fervently pray for. Now, I'm not saying that you have to fall on your knees when you pray all the time. There are times at church that we stand when we pray, right? There are times where, you know, some people, they get up in years and then their knees hurt, so then they can't fall on their knees anymore, etc. That's not what I mean. What I mean right here is, metaphorically speaking, that when you're praying to the Lord, that's falling on your knees to Him. You're really prostrating yourself before the Lord. You're really asking and beseeching the Lord. What are you doing? You're falling on your knees before Him. So you need to pray really hard. Well, it's amazing how many people don't pray. If I were to ask people in this church, you know, I passed out a sheet and asked you, when's the last time you prayed? And please give an honest answer. Some of you might be in shock. And then if we were to compare that with, you know, how much that you used your iPhone compared to prayer, you might be even more in shock. But it's even more amazing that people are so incapable of praying that they don't even pray for their own selfish request either.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? That's how incapable people are in praying. You know what that means then? Why doesn't God bless your life? Because you never asked Him for it. Well, doesn't God understand how much I really want it? No, you actually don't want it. You might say, no, preacher, I really want it. No, if you really want it that bad, you would pray to Him really hard and beg Him that bad for it.
Yeah.
It shows you don't really want it. You don't really want that soul saved. You don't really want our church to grow. You really don't want our brother and sister in Christ to be healed of that sickness, of that health problem. You really don't want that brother and sister in Christ to do well in work or in school. You really don't care about that brother or sister getting a job and providing for his or her own family. You really don't love the pastor. You really don't love that brother and sister in Christ when you neglect prayer. No, you don't. Stop lying. Stop lying that, hey, you know, that I really want you to be rich. I really want you to be cared for. I really want you to be encouraged. I want our church to grow. I want God to give me money to provide my needs. I want that soul to be saved. Stop lying. If you really want to, then you'd be praying for it.
That's good, preacher.
Amen. That's good.
You know what you need to do if you really want it? If you really want it, okay, pretend that if there's a piece of that pumpkin pie that you really want to eat, and it's down right there, you know what you need to do to get it? Oh, I want it. Oh, I want it. Oh, I want it. Then get it. Oh, I want it. I really want it. Then get it. Oh, you don't understand. I really want it. Then get it like this. See, you're not falling on your knees to get it. Get it. Pray to the Lord. Fall on your knees. My sixth point is kneeling in profanity. Kneeling in profanity. In the midst of our profane, godless, wicked world, we got to be kneeling. Luke chapter 5 verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Notice another mention of kneeling in the Bible is when a person realizes that he's profane and wicked. It's so strange. Christians are not fearful of God to fall on their knees. They just continue in sin. Wherever their feet go, they just sin. Wherever it goes. Wherever a person goes right there, a wicked sinner goes right there, your feet goes. Whenever a screen goes right there or pops up right there, there your feet goes. Wherever, you know, that drink or that addiction or that eating thing is somewhere, there your feet goes. You pick it up. You buy it. So you can fall into your addiction again. See, it's strange that you don't have the fear of God to, when sin is right there and Satan says, here, come and get it, you don't just go like this. That's what you need to be doing.
That's good.
Hey, come over here and get it. No, you need to fall on your knees. Mm-hmm. You need to just go like this. Not, yes. That's what a lot of people are doing. A lot of people are doing that. Why? Because you don't have the fear of God. Hey, you know, think about this. If you're like in a big, huge open space and then the rain was pouring really hard, the thunder was rumbling really loud and lightning was crashing everywhere, you know what you would naturally do in this open space where lightning is crashing all around you? If you were so fearful for your own safety, you know what you do? You'd fall on your knees like this, so that the lightning don't hit you. That's what you would be doing. Isn't that a natural reaction on what we would do? But see, that's the problem, is that we don't realize that that's even more definite with God. With God, it's a sure strike. It's a sure strike of his lightning that, be sure your sin will find you out. And then when God's lightning is crashing all around you, you know what you're doing? You're just going like this with sin. Hit me. Hit me, God. I live another day. Hit me. I gambled my life again. Hit me, Lord. Hit me. No. The fear of the Lord is this. When you sin.
Right.
You should be doing that in this this world filled with profanity. You need to go like this. You need to go like that with the Lord.
When's the last time you did that with the Lord? See, you have no fear of God. You're just going, hit me, all right, I'm good. Come on, right here, right here, right here. Come on, come on. That's what you're doing. One day, God's going to strike you dead. Man, you got to be careful. Don't think that you're perfect in stature.
Right.
Look at me. That's what you're doing. Be sure your sin will find you out. My seventh point is kneeling to persons. Kneeling to persons. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 17 reads, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Notice that it said bow down thine ear to hear the words of the wise. You have to kneel to persons that God has put in your life to hear their wisdom. But a lot of Christians have a lot of pride. They don't listen. They think they know better. Man, after half a year of PBI, I thought I knew more than Dr. Ruckman. Man, aren't you full of yourself? Mm-hmm. You know why that happens so easily? Because you see so much of your ability. They've blessed you. The wise people blessed you with the knowledge where you're learning to critique them now. What were you? You would have been a nobody, a punk. If the wise person didn't give you that knowledge to begin with, the ability to critique and to discern to begin with. What do you mean you're all that? You better watch out for that attitude. That's a wicked heart.
Amen. Amen.
God used those more experienced people to become leaders, not you. You think that you're all that you can correct? Oh, I can correct pastor. I can correct my mom and dad. I can correct this and that. I can correct my husband. He doesn't know anything. And hey, you better watch out for that attitude. If God puts someone in authority over your life, such as a pastor over a church member, such as a parent over a child, such as a husband over a wife, you better listen and respect the authority that God gives. You might say, no, I don't like that. Well, then you better watch out for that attitude. You better watch out for that attitude, because one day God's going to make sure that he's going to hurt your life and you're going to face damages of your own poor choices because of your rebellious pride. One thing you got to understand about leaders is this, is that you got to realize that the pastors that the Lord put upon your life, they didn't reach there because they were all that. They thought they were all that. You know how God put them there? Because they were like you before,
and they were better than you in being this. They did this a lot. See? Because they did this a lot, the Lord trusted them enough that, okay, now you can direct and guide them.
Right.
You know what I had to do? I had to do that. I had to do that nearly all of my life before I became a pastor. I was supporting the pastor. I would encourage the pastor. I would do things for the pastor. I would defend the pastor. Unless it is plain sin and plain heresy, that's 100%, then I'd rather serve God than man, and no pastor would be my final authority. But if it's not 100% plain sin or plain heresy that hurts the body of Christ, I just shut up and help the man of God. How can you act like you're perfect in stature? You know more than the minister God put on your life. And you think that God can use you? You think that you're more better? God's not going to use a man who doesn't learn to listen. That's a problem. You're the one that wants to say, you listen to me. No, you better listen to the person God put on your life.
That's good.
You can't speak and tell people what to do if you don't learn how to listen first.
How about that?
Amen.
Uh-oh.
You got to kneel to the people God put on your life. Well, I can't do that. And sometimes God will teach you a lesson where he's going to put a leader in your life where the person might be poorer than you. The person might be dumber than you.
How about that?
The person whose character and attitude really doesn't suit you and you're like, man, I don't like this person. God's going to do that one day to test how well you are in doing, how good you are in doing this.
That's good. Amen.
But see, you see character deficiencies with the leaders God put in your life. So that's why it's so easy not to do this. And God's like, okay, I can't use you. God has a great plan to use you for a great task. And when he's about to do it, all of a sudden you go like this. And God's like, oh, I can't use you.
Yeah. That's good.
Keep down. No, I can't go down. And God's like, okay, the next person. How many of you are down? When God says down, you know what you better be doing? Down! When God says down, go down. And God's like, okay, good. Good. Then I'll use this person. I'll use this person.
That's
good. Hey, you're too high for me. Oh, God, no, I'm humble. No, you're too high. Why aren't you kneeling? Well, because this person you put on my life says this and that. No, I can't use you. Move on.
Amen.
My eighth point is kneeling to the preserved words. Kneeling to the preserved words. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 through 6 reads, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people." Now, isn't that interesting? "And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." When Ezra read the word of God in front of all the people, the Bible says the book was above the people.
Amen.
And the Bible also says that the people fell down with their faces to the ground. You know what you need to kneel to? The preserved words of God. In order to become the best Christian in the world, it's simply by falling on your knees to whatever God says in his word.
Amen.
But it's so amazing you can't do that. You know what happens when trials and affliction hit your life? And then you quote that verse, "We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You don't kneel down to it and say, "I believe it, I trust it." No, you know what you do? You resist it. You know what you do? Some of you are trying to kneel, but you can't kneel. You got flesh problems. Knee problems with your flesh. You got flesh problems. You're going like this. When God says to the wives to submit to the husband, you wives are going like this. When the Bible says to children, obey your parents, children are going like this. When the Bible says to the husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church, your husbands go like this.
Amen. Right, come on.
Amen. Help me, Lord.
When the Bible says to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, some of you are going like this. When God says, be sure your sin will find you out, some of you go like this. You don't care. You know what you need to do with the word of God? You need to go like this.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Grab it. Claim it for yourself. Kneel to his word. When God says, fall on your knees, you fall on your knees. When God says, bow, you bow. When God says, preach, you go preach. When God says, obey, you obey. When God says, believe on my son for salvation, then you just believe. It's so amazing. People in this day and age are hesitant, rebellious, and just avoid what God says. When God says to do it, you just do it. You don't do it. That, you know why? Because the first reaction of the flesh is not to kneel, it's to rebel.
That's right.
When you hear something that you don't like, it's to resist, it's not to listen. We make excuses. We find ways around it. We hesitate, or let me think about it. No, you kneel when he says it. Look, in the army, are you going to react the same way if a sergeant told you during drill time, hey, fall on your knees, crawl through that mud, and then they're berating you, and they make you do ridiculous things that you don't like? What do you do? Oh, no, I can't do that. No, if you're in the army during drill time, you hear the word, fall on your knees and crawl through the mud, and you go down and crawl through the mud. But so amazing. It's like the fleshy reaction when God says, fall on your knees, you're going to go through that fire. You're like, no.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Go through the mud. No. No. It's normal, even during the army, fall on your knees. You fall.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say that every one of us is a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? No, we think that our problem is that we think that, no, I'm a spoiled princess. Lord, you should give me this. You should give me that, and you should make my life comfortable. You're a soldier. And a soldier has no luxury or right to say, I don't think so, and no, I have my right, and no, I resist. No, you fall. If he says fall, then fall. Because why? He's your commander-in-chief. Can I ask you a question? Do you think his demands are unfair, unloving, or he does it for a right cause? Then why can't you just take him at his word? My ninth point is kneeling in public. Kneeling in public. Romans 14, verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You know, God swore by his own very life. He said, as I live, what? Everyone will fall their knees to me in public in front of everyone. So guess what? One day, you're going to openly confess your worship before God. You're going to fall on your knees in public, like literally falling on your knees. Yeah, the Lord's going to do that one day, which is why we like to do altar calls. Oh, I don't like altar calls, and that's a fleshy method. No, we have altar calls. Why? Because that's your chance. You can do it publicly in front of people that you're worshiping before God. One thing I don't understand is that it's one of the best opportunities that you're provided for to do it in public to worship God. Why don't you take it? Look, it doesn't matter about who you are, what gender you are, what background you are. Oh, that's not for me. No, you just fall. The altar call is available for everyone. Now, obviously, I don't believe in like pushing people down, forcing them. And then some of these people are just so ridiculous where they just want to count numbers. So then they use fleshy methods or a drum roll in 10 seconds, go down on the altar. Duh, 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 duh. I kid you not, there are stupid things like that. Because you're using force, you're using fleshy means to get onto people rather than the Holy Spirit dealing with them. One question I have is, the Holy Spirit never led you to fall on your knees?
That's good, preacher.
Before the Lord?
There are some, we had Chuck who has health problems, and he definitely can't kneel because he's got really huge back pains. But what Chuck did is that he wants to kneel before the Lord. So what he does is that he crawls with the cane and then he just stands against the wall like this and goes like this as if he's kneeling before the Lord. Why do Christians, if you don't think that altar calls are important, why do Christians throughout history, the Great Awakening revivals,
right,
past 2,000 years, and even Bible-believing preachers you know of today, why is it they all have altar calls? You think you're immune? You think you're special? Or should we not take that opportunity to bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in front of everybody and say, hey, this is how... Everybody, look at this. It's me acknowledging my God. Matthew 2, verse 11 reads, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh." Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 reads, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." The point of these two passages that I read concerning about Jesus' birth is that when Christ was born into this world, it started the greatest hope for the world. No wonder people who visited him at Matthew chapter 2, what did they do? They fell on their knees before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So think about the same way as well. During that time, think back at history when Christ was born into the world. It was such a spectacular event that it started a brand new hope. For thousands of years, they were waiting for their promised Messiah. Because of such a special day where God...
Galatians 4 mentioned about Christ should have been born into your life. You would have been born again when you got saved, right?
Do you not recall the first time Christ was born into your life? It started the greatest hope for you to live now, finally. Because of that, can't you not help but just go like this, knowing you have Christ in you? When's the last time you did this before him? You're like, "You're mine, Lord. Thank you for being born into my life." Do you recall the last time you did this before the Lord? I'm not talking about just physically on your knees. I'm like, in your life, you did this, metaphorically speaking. You did this before the Lord. You fell on your knees to him.
Why not fall on your knees to that King who was born in your life?
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, says, on a high divine, all the night when Christ was born, all night divine, all night, all night divine. Truly he taught us to love
One another, his law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is now brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holiness. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel high says, on divine of the night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine. Every head bowed and every eye shut because we fall on our knees to the King of Kings. Do you remember that time, last time you fell down before him? When's the last time that you kneeled in private just with him alone? Stop getting caught up with the hustle and bustle. When's the last time you kneeled in private with him? When's the last time you kneeled down to a brother and sister who needed ministry and service to help them out? When's the last time when problems and trials in life hit that you fell on your knees when Satan was attacking? Instead of being scared, instead of trying to figure things out yourself, did you just kneel? Kneel during those times of Satan attacking you? When's the last time you knelt in giving your petition to the King? Saying, Lord, I have a prayer, a petition. I need you to answer. When's the last time you kneel? During times of sin and wickedness and profanity, did you kneel? Or did you run to the sin like the dog that you are? Or did you just kneel? Kneel to the Lord and say, God, I fear the sin, so I kneel to you. Did you kneel to the leader God put in your life? God will one day show deficiencies within that leader to teach you a lesson and to see if you truly would kneel. Did you kneel to his word? What God said? God will put one day a situation in your life to see that once he says something, you follow, you obey. No questions asked. No hesitation, no second thought. When's the last time that in public, you knelt to show off to the world that this is how great my God is and he deserves the glory? Father God, as I come before you in prayer, we all kneel before you, prostrate before you. We bowed our heads, we closed our eyes. Some of them even came down on the altar. We give you that honor, that glory that you deserve, that you are worthy of. We're unworthy, Lord. We're undeserving. That's why we must fall flat on our faces toward the ground, on our knees to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're so sorry, Lord, for all the times that we stood up in pride. All the times that we stood up thinking that we were right. Stood up making ourselves feel good. Prioritizing pleasing myself more than you.
Lord God, we come before you, broken, bended knees, where we belong, submitting to your power, your will, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.